Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
So what I did was I just started spending so much time on Facebook and putting myself in the shoes of the viewer. What kind of ads are they seeing? How often are they seeing the ads? What was a compelling ad? And I was even like searching Google, like great Facebook video ads. Like I was just searching to see how people were presenting. And then I started making notes of what was resonating with me.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up? How's it going, my friends? Welcome to episode number 106 of the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate that. On today's episode, I am really excited to welcome my good friend, Jasmine Starr. And before we get into it with Jasmine here, just want to share real quick, at the time of recording this, I just got back from my trip up to Montana. A lot of you guys ask how my fishing trip went. Well, my fishing trip went awesome. I went fly fishing again back up in Montana. I go into Bozeman and I have some friends up there. I get to stay with my friends. So it's a great trip. I spent about 4 days up there, fished with the guide that I had fished with before back in June, and just had an amazing time. Didn't catch as many fish this time around, but I think it was because of the weather. The weather wasn't great. It rained a lot and it was pretty chilly up there. Pretty big difference here from San Diego, but still had a blast. Already planned my next trip up there at the end of March. I don't know if I'm asking for trouble going in the end of winter up there, but already looking forward to it. So there you have it. Everybody keeps asking me about my trip, which I really appreciate that. I had a blast. So getting back to the episode here today, Jasmine Starr, she's an expert in branding, social media, and she was also voted one of the top 10 wedding photographers in the world. Now you might be asking, okay, Rick, well, why the heck are you having her on here on the Art of Paid Traffic? Well, I'm going to let Jasmine share more about who she is here in just a minute, but I asked her to come on to the podcast here to share how she approaches her Facebook ads, specifically the work that she puts into strategically creating images and videos that attract her ideal target customers for her Instagram course, which is an online course that she calls Insta 180. Now, today she's going to break down the process that she used to figure exactly what kind of style and the kind of images and videos to use in her Facebook ads campaign. She used a really cool process because this was her first big launch of her program, and it was her first real any kind of sizable ad spend that she put into Facebook ads. So she takes us through her strategy and how she went about it. She says that she worked from her end goal or her end product, if you will, backwards, but it's different from how I normally teach it here on the podcast. And you're going to hear in just a second how that's different. It's a really interesting process that Jasmine went through. She also breaks down her retargeting strategy and the ad types that she used in her retargeting, how many images that she used to split test, why understanding your target customer's needs, pains, desires is critical to creating ads that attract your ideal audience. That's going to be a big theme here for the episode today. And then also she breaks down 8 steps to getting the best photographs as possible for your ads when working with a photographer. And she's also going to share the results of her Facebook ads campaign, which I didn't know that she was going to do. She shares what her cost per lead is and what her earnings per lead is. I'll give you a hint. They were really, really good. And she actually shares a funny story about how she texted me one day and was like, are these good? Yes, they were good. So we cover a lot in this one today. So let's jump right into it. Here is Jasmine Starr. Jasmine Starr, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to have you on here because we're going to be talking about something that is, you know, when we were talking before we got recording here, we're going to talk about a little bit of a different angle to some of the things that I've often actually brought up here in the podcast before. When it comes to putting your video ads together, when it comes to Facebook, your images for your ads and so forth. And it's going to be a really interesting conversation because you're going to have a little bit of a different spin to it. And this is coming from not only your background, which I want to get into here in just a second, but also your experience with a recent launch that you went through for your Instagram program. So before we jump into all that, though, tell us a little bit about who you are and what your background is.
Okay, well, one, I actually like how you like build up the suspense. I mean, this is like the Capulets and the Montagues, the Hatfields and the Coys, you know, the Mulreadys and the Stars. Like, we're going at it.
People are going to hear it. They're going to like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I waited for this.
Not at all. Hey, I can be as dramatic and mean as you'd like me to.
Bring it.
Okay. I'm excited to be here. Thank you. I already got distracted. Do you see what happens? I'm already trying to build up the suspense and I don't even know the lead-in question. Am I dropping the ball already?
Yes, you're already dropping the ball. I can't believe it. I want you to share with my audience who you are and a little bit about what your background is.
Perfect. So I am a branding and marketing strategist. I recently launched my first online educational course called Insta 180. So it's an Instagram for business class, and I'm really proud and the feedback has been amazing. But prior to that, I'm a law school dropout. During that time in my life, I was kind of just doing the thing that I thought I should be doing. I was pursuing academics. I had a full ride scholarship. And during my first year, my mother unfortunately had a relapse of brain cancer, and it hit us all really hard. I'm like a tight-knit, large Latino family. And when our matriarch, you know, they kind of gave her a couple months to live. It was a 6-year battle, and the time had come for us to stop treatments. And it was just really hard, and I didn't want to be in school anymore. And on a whim, I walked into the dean's office, and I said, I need to leave. I need to be with my mom. We weren't sure what was going to happen, and I just wasn't in a good headspace. And UCLA, which is the law school I went to, gave me 3 years to go back and reclaim all my scholarships. And I said, great, okay. But part of the scholarship was me getting a stipend to live in this beautiful campus housing there in West Los Angeles. And so I walked away from school. I didn't have an apartment. I called my boyfriend at the time, and I said, I need to move out. I have a couple days. So we packed up my entire apartment, and I moved back to the single place that I knew would always have an open door, which was my mom's house. And so there I am. I'm having, you know, not the best day. And I walk upstairs. And when I saw my mom, I am a grown woman and I crawl into bed with her and I take a big whiff of the back of her neck and it smells like Pond's facial cream and eucalyptus. And I thought to myself in that moment, I just made the best decision of my life. Mm. And then the next morning after walking downstairs and waking up in my high school bedroom, the first thing I see is an NSYNC poster on my wall. And I was like, I think I just made the worst decision of my entire life being here. I mean, I just walked away from what I knew. And so there was one thing I did know, and I wanted my mom to see me get married to my longtime boyfriend. We had been dating almost 9 years. And so he proposed probably less than a week of me being home, and we planned a wedding in 3 months. And I was determined to have my mom fly to Hawaii. There was just 20 people. I was like, my mom's going to be there. And the doctors are like, she's not going to go. She's not going to be healthy enough to go. And against all odds, she walked me down the aisle with my father. And it was like a pivotal time in my life. And it was then when I realized that I didn't want to go back to law school. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I didn't know what to do. And so my husband asks, okay, so I'm sitting at dinner and I'm crying because you clearly, you know, I'm dramatic by this point. Listeners within the first 5 minutes are like, this girl needs to stop drinking coffee and she needs to calm down. Well, imagine this, that I'm just crying and I'm crying into a plate of food. And I said, I don't want to go back. And he said, if you could do one thing, what would it be? And I said, I want to be a photographer. And he said, oh, okay, but you don't even own a camera. I was like, I know, but if I had a camera, I would be really good.
Did you have a flip phone at that point?
Gosh, no. I was like, the Razor, come on. I grew up poor. The Razor was for the rich kids. No, I had like the Nokia, like slip in your pocket, yeah, the iPhone.
Nice.
So yeah, no, I didn't even have a smartphone then. And so, yeah, thanks a lot, Rick. You're aging me right about
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
My husband that Christmas bought me a camera, and we decided that 1 year I was going to take a medical leave from law school for a full year. And within that year, I was going to try to start a business. And I said, if I don't make it in a year, I'm going back to law school. And the good thing was my business exploded that first year and kind of built a tribe of supporters and built a business. And shortly thereafter, other photographers started asking me, how did you grow your business so quickly and how are you able to scale? So I went in as a complete amateur and novice, charging the bare minimum. And then within 3 years, I moved myself into a luxury market and was able to travel the world and was voted one of the top 10 wedding photographers in the world in 2009. So it's just, there was a lot of moving pieces in my life at that time. And after I started helping brand and market photographers, other entrepreneurs asked me, well, how are you branding and marketing yourself? How are you using Instagram for your business? How are you using Facebook for your business? And so I decided to create an online course for creative entrepreneurs, for entrepreneurs who are using Instagram to really grow their business.
So you've got that background. You've got the, and I'm so glad you brought up, by the way, that you were voted the top 10 wedding photographers. Because if you didn't, I was going to bring that up because I think that's super cool. You know, so you come from that sort of creative background. You are one of the most creative people that I know. I always see your Instagrams and stuff like that. And I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, I don't have that kind of eye at all. And you brought this into, so the last time that you went through a launch of your Instagram product called Insta 180, you brought this sort of your background, your experience, your eye, if you will, into the launch. And so you did not run Facebook ads yourself. You hired somebody to do that. Carrie Sweatman, who's one of my students, who's been on the podcast here before, and I'm looking through my list. She's episode number 89, everyone, if you want to go back and hear my interview with Carrie. But it's rickmulready.com/89. Carrie ran your ads, but you were heavily involved in the type of ads that you wanted to run as far as the image and the video, not surprisingly, because of your background. So I know that you did some really smart things leading up to the launch of that campaign and putting your ads together. Can you kind of take us through that?
Absolutely. And I do want to take a second to publicly, I have privately, but publicly thank you for taking the time to answer my email and just say, I'm looking. Well, actually, the email was, what can I do to hire you for my ads? And at the time, I didn't realize that you were like, weak joke between us. And I call you like Kanye Mulready, like, you know, like you're like the guy. And here I am trying to be like, can you handle my ads? But you graciously referred Carrie and it was extraordinarily synergistic. She did a great, great job with our ads. And I think that the thing I really want to talk about and emphasize today is empowering ourselves as entrepreneurs to prepare our ads if we're hiring a third party to do it or doing them ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons why it worked so well with Carrie was that I was able to reverse engineer what I saw just as a passive viewer. And I think that a lot of your audience are very aware of Facebook ads and they're aware of the nuts and bolts. And I was completely unaware of that. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm. When you say reverse engineer, you were like looking at what other people were doing with their Facebook ads?
Absolutely. But reverse engineering it from the end product and working backwards. Where yeah. I think that a lot of people start at the beginning and they have their ad sets and their budgets and who they're targeting. And then all of a sudden, the most important part, which is the visual piece, is the last component. And by that time, people are tired, they're frustrated, they're just done. They're like, I just need to get this done.
Yeah.
Where I approached it from, let me work backwards as I feel like that's the end product. What do I want my end product to work? And then worked backwards to who do I need to target? What's my budget? And all of those things.
So when you say work backwards from the end, and so when I talk about that, I talk about that from a creating like a Facebook ads strategy or a funnel, meaning like the end of it is the sale. And then we work backwards to figure out all the steps that need to happen in the sales funnel in order for someone to become a paying customer.
Oh, well, see, you're way smarter than I am.
Well, you're no. You're talking about it from a little bit of a different perspective. So take us through sort of that exercise there. I think it's super interesting.
So for me, I think that when I referred to it as the end, I was viewing it as the end product. And the end product isn't the sale in this perspective. The end product for me is, how can I deliver the ad?
Yeah.
And that to me, that's what the timeline. But yes, absolutely, the end, your end is the right end. I was just like lost. That was a guppy in a big sea trying to figure it out.
Your end product, if you will, is the presentation of you and your business to the marketplace, if you will.
Absolutely.
I think that's such an interesting perspective on that. So if that is the end goal, how did you work backwards from there?
So what I did was I just started spending so much time on Facebook and putting myself in the shoes of the viewer. What kind of ads are they seeing? How often are they seeing the ads? What was a compelling ad? And I was even like searching Google, like great Facebook video ads. Like I was just searching to see how people were presenting. And then I started making notes of what was resonating with me initially upon seeing a video. Because one thing that I did discuss with Carrie, it was her suggestion. And I will wholeheartedly agree because I told her I'm going to be doing a video ad and we're going to do still image ads. And she said, let's start off with the video ad and then retarget those viewers by way of still ads. So that was her strategy 100%. And I was on board with it, but she only based that once she knew the collateral that I was giving her in advance. And so what I did was I went through and I started making notations for really strong videos. And those were those videos that started off really quickly with visual content that was stimulating. It wasn't just a static face in an office. It wasn't a slow moving slide deck. It wasn't like a kind of like a very emotional like text rolling in. No, Facebook is really fast moving. So it was because we're on radio, the only way I could describe it would be like pop, pop, pop. Three series of quickly framed images or video or lifestyle. Because once you can get people past that 4 to 5 second mark, they almost, it's like they're determined to make it worth their time. Like, heck, they already stopped.
Yeah.
So what can I do? So I noticed that the first 4 to 5 seconds were going to be the most impactful. So I had to go back and say, if I was watching, what were the things that were really drawing me in? And one of the videos, one of the best performing videos was I had a 7-day challenge that led into a webinar. That's where I presented the sale of Insta 180. Mm-hmm. And the webinar video ad outperformed all the ads did extraordinarily well, but this one just seemed like it just knocked it out of the park. And part of the reason why I think it did that was because in the first 3 to 4 seconds, I had a series of lifestyle photos that I wanted to use to attract my target client. And it was really quick of like me holding a drink, but just my hand in a drink and a brightly colored cocktail in Hawaii. And then we have a sunset, we have a beach. We have a really lifestyle vibe to draw somebody in. So if you were watching Facebook and you saw this kind of like lure of that looks like a vacation, that looks like fun, what is she selling? And curated really well, I think it becomes a much easier sell to bring somebody into the story to make them participate in the challenge, which would later convert them to the webinar.
But you're also attracting your ideal audience by the type of images and video that you're using here.
100%.
That's a huge lesson here that I think not enough people really, when they start thinking about, okay, strategy from an image or a video perspective, they just think like, okay, I want to catch attention, which we obviously talk about a lot here on the show. But you're talking about, okay, I want to use this asset here. And to your point, this is sort of your end goal, you said, or your end point. This is how I'm presenting myself and my brand to people I'm trying to attract in my world here for Instagram. And so I'm going to use this type of visualness, we'll call it, to attract my ideal audience.
Absolutely. 100%.
And I want to kind of go back just one point there. You said that you went and looked at other ads, other videos and stuff like that to see what attracted you. Do you think that worked especially well because you're kind of your ideal audience for this type of program that you're promoting?
Well, it's yes. But so, okay. Yes, I do think that I am ultimately attracting somebody who has a visual, like a similar visual aesthetic and content and like worldly view. But I do think that I could take any business knowing who their ideal client is, and the owner doesn't have to be within their target clientele. Like the owners and the board of executives sitting on Anthropology are not the people who buy clothing from Anthropologie, and yet they know that their ideal client with such specificity that they can create content and clothing that appeals to that person. And I think that's the responsibility of every entrepreneur, is to clearly identify who they are speaking to and how they are doing it. In fact, that's where I start Insta 180. People think that they're buying an Instagram course, and they are, but we set the foundation far before, because if you don't know who you're talking to, you will have a very hard time attracting them.
Yeah. And so you're setting that all up right from the, again, just to kind of reiterate we're talking about here, you're setting that up from the get-go with the style and the type of video and the images that you are using in your ads.
100%. Because if there's a good chance that if you don't like the advertisement, you will not like the webinar.
Yeah.
Like if you don't like my personality, my aesthetic, what you're seeing, there's a really good chance. So that's great. In fact, you know, I don't want that person to click because it changes, like, you know, my cost per lead. Like, yeah. I really am trying to be the most efficacious with my budget. And I think that's, I would rather attract somebody so distinctly and repel somebody so distinctly. I'm totally okay not having everybody come into the thing that I'm selling.
Okay. I like that. And so when you did the video, Carrie did video engagement retargeting. So based on how long somebody was watching your video, and then you followed, you retargeted those people with an image ad. Tell us, do you know enough about that ad to talk about it? Sort of like how similar or different it was to the video that that person watched. Then what was the message in the video versus the message in the retargeting ad?
Very cool. So let's take the best. I can take any ad, but let's just take the best performing ad, because this was slightly different than most campaigns in that it had various arms. Most people will launch by way of a challenge, and most people will launch by way of a webinar. I kind of combined the two models, which kind of created two really strategic marketing campaigns. So let's focus on the webinar one. The video for the webinar started off, like I had mentioned before, with that really fast popping imagery lifestyle, went directly to me to camera, again, willing people to not click. Because if you don't like the way that I'm presenting on camera there, you're probably not going to like the course, because I do all of it to camera. So again, I'm putting up a lot of pre-qualifiers to say I am not going to be for everybody, but for those who are attracted to this, we're going to get along swell.
Hold on, I want to stop you real quick. So am I hearing you correctly in that you were very deliberate in the video, not only to catch attention and to attract your ideal audience, but you want to keep people watching your video to further qualify them, if you will, as your ideal audience before getting them to click over to the landing page. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm a firm believer in attracting and repelling. If you don't like what you see, it's only going to get worse from here. Like, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. So one of the things that we were very strategic about was creating like a color palette that was going to attract the person that we wanted. So what I see a lot of people doing is mixing their video footage. So they have this like really bright outdoor scenes, and then all of a sudden a really dark indoor scene. Or, you know, if they have like a really bright outdoors and then they go immediately to like a black slide deck, visually to the eye as people are scrolling through Facebook, it doesn't look like you're drawing them in. So what you want to do is create similar lighting, similar colors. And so we took the color palettes that we had in the video, which were like whites and light blues and pink. And I can't stand pink. As much as my voice sounds like I'm very like a pink and I own a poodle, it's totally not. I can't stand it. But I knew that visually it was going to make a person stop and look. And so the ads were just a white background because I wanted to start attracting a client who understood the visual components of Instagram. And the photos that perform extraordinarily well on Instagram have white backgrounds, very clean. So I was photographed on a white background and used just pops of pink, me holding a camera in some, and then just me leaning against a, like a beige pinkish wall. And I'm looking straight to camera in the bright sun with a palm tree in the back. And then I just have very simple text. And it said, Insta 180, attract, engage, impact, doors open now.
That's it. In the follow-up image ad.
Yes. And but wait, we split tested that one, and we also split tested a single ad with just a line through it, and it said, I'm hosting an Instagram webinar. That's it.
Was your picture on it?
Yes. Oh, okay. You brought up a really good point. So what I did is I'm super geeky. And so I started researching. I knew that I did not want to run my Facebook ads. I don't think that I have the time or the wherewithal, but I wanted to understand what I was asking my ads manager to do. And so I started researching a lot. And so we split tested. So for every campaign, I sent Carrie 4 images for her to split test. Mm. And so, for instance, when we did the challenge invitation, mm-hmm. I sent her 4 images. 2 had my face on them, and 2 had imagery, just like what we would call stock imagery. Now, you can easily purchase stock imagery from a stock site. Because I'm a photographer, I just decided to take my own stock images. But you could do the same with your iPhone. It's very simple. This is just you not in the photo. And so we had 4 for the challenge invitation, 4 for the webinar invitation. We had 4 for doors closing. We had 4 for doors opening. So we really wanted to test what was performing well. And hands down, the photos of me in the ads outperformed just the static imagery, because we have to understand that there are so many ads being poured onto Facebook and people are being exposed to so much that the way that people, the eye is drawn immediately to a human. Mm-hmm. And it's almost that people don't necessarily, at least initially, know that they're being sold to.
Okay, so you ran 2 and 2 for each one of those groups that you just said. You ran 2 images with you in it, 2 images without you in it. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, was it all cold traffic or warm traffic?
We had different sets. Like, she was targeting warm traffic and also cold traffic. And still, hands down, the ones that outperformed were the ones with the photos of me in them. And as we are launching Insta180 again, we're split testing. I gave her new stock imagery because I really want to get a strong idea and hold on what is performing and why it's performing so that I could really speak with authority in regards to this. Now, you don't have to be a supermodel. And for me, because I'm selling a course where I am teaching direct to camera, I thought mm-hmm. it was important. Now, if you're selling just a slide deck and you're not a personal brand, my business is strongly a personal brand.
Right.
I needed to be the face of that. And it seems that that's the thing that people are resonating with the most.
Cool. Cool. So I want to play devil's advocate here a little bit. And like, this is kind of what we're talking about in our intro here. So what you're saying, I feel like is, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of our listeners here as they're listening to this. And they're probably thinking, holy cow, this is amazing. But holy cow, this is a lot of work. And so I've always talked about, don't let, you know, the production value and all that sort of thing, like, don't let that hold you up from creating video for your Facebook video ads, because of the cameras on our smartphones these days are pretty darn amazing. Now, well, you are a professional photographer, but you hired a video team.
And a photographer.
Oh, you did hire a photographer?
Yes.
Okay.
If I'm in the photo, I can't be shooting the photo.
True. No selfies. So, okay. I bet your selfies are like better than most professional photographers.
So I can teach you how to take a selfie, Rick.
Don't even tease me like that. I'll take you up on that. So you hired a photographer, you hired a video team, and you kind of like storylined out this whole thing. So you put a lot of branding work into it. We're very deliberate about it. The deliberateness is not something that like I'm questioning in any way. But I want to kind of also flip on the other side and make sure that people understand that they can do this sort of thing with intentionality with sort of their iPhone or their Android device, right? Do you have any tips for taking the approach that like you've been talking about up till now, but with not having to hire a, you know, professional photographer or a professional video person?
Yes, but let me back it up, because remember how I started this conversation saying I went to law school? So I'm going to propose there could be flawed reasoning in the way that we're listening to this conversation, in that when you say we need to put ourselves in the shoes of the listeners.
Yep.
I think that the biggest issue that I take is that we, as creative entrepreneurs and people who are producing content to be sold, are constantly putting ourselves in our own shoes or that of our competitors. Mm. And I say, don't stand in those shoes. You got to stand in the people who are being bombarded by advertisements, and those are your customers.
Yep.
And so, yes, it is a lot of work, but let me tell you, I pour in the same amount of work for images that I take myself. I can use a self timer just like anybody else. So when I use a self timer, when I use my iPhone to create marketing collateral, I do the same amount of work that I would had I hired another photographer and a videographer. Mm. The only difference is the amount of money that I'm spending to outsource that level of production. But part of the reason why I think I'm able to produce content that markets extraordinarily well is because I've outlined everything from start to finish. I want to understand, how is this person feeling when they're looking at this ad? Where are they at? What do they aspire to? So if I can, within my ads, show them an aspirational model without saying, do you want to be on an island drinking this rum and whatever, I don't even drink rum, but like rum and pineapple juice? Right. Do you want to watch this sunset in Hawaii? Do you want to travel with your passport? All the images that I showed leading up to that. Instead, in 5 seconds, I can convey a lifestyle without having to say that. And I think that is extraordinarily powerful. So if you're listening, the challenge is to truly map out how your client is feeling, what they want, what you can do to serve them with your product. And then it comes down to, let's plan a photo shoot. What day is the photo shoot going to take place? This is you taking the photos or you hiring somebody. Either way, it has to take place. Mm-hmm. You have to choose how many outfits you want to wear. And does the outfit convey or attract the type of person you want to attract? You also have to think along the lines of, if I am shooting stock photos for myself, what are the items that need to be in these photos? So for myself, I chose to photograph a passport, a coconut, sunglasses, a drink, a frosty beverage, all of these things. I made a list of everything I needed to shoot in order for me to have it ready when the time came. So It just really comes down to outlining, how many images do I need? What am I going to be split testing? And I think that, let me just take a step back, because I do sound like this is a lot of work, but I am certain that the more work you put into this, the right work, it pays off in dividends. And I could say this because you and I have had conversations about ads. I was very nervous. I had a really small ad spend for the goal that I wanted to do for my product launch.
Yeah.
And I had set aside $10,000 for ads, which to me was bat trash crazy. I was like, $10,000? Are you kidding me? Like, I grew up in the ghetto. $10,000 is like a Nissan Sentra. You know, it's like, you're not going to toss a Nissan Sentra onto Facebook ads. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, to me, it was crazy. And so here I was going out on a limb. And what I realized was that our cost per lead was $1.03. Yeah. And our earnings per lead was $54.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now I know it's crazy, because at the time, I think I actually even emailed you and I was like, hey, is $1.03
you're like,
good?
Are these good numbers? And I was like, shut up. Don't even talk to me.
No, but yes. I was like, no, I'm being serious.
Right,
like,
no,
you're just like, no, these are great. So, I mean, clearly this should go to show your audience that there is the ability for people to succeed without really knowing the back end stuff, because when you create visually appealing things and you put a lot of hard work into creating your content, it goes a long way.
Yeah. And I think that I want to reiterate, but also caution people that, like, this was your first like big launch like this, the first time you ever ran, you know, a sizable spend of Facebook ads for what you're doing, and you did incredibly well. You know, the caution there is, of course, like, not everybody has that kind of success out of the gates. And this conversation here is one of those reasons why people are like, wait, I'm getting a $3 cost per lead. That's terrible. No, it's not. It's really good. Jasmine just did a heck of a job getting really cheap leads there across the board. And I do know that you really maximize that budget, your Facebook ad spend. Like, you did an amazing job of maximizing the number of leads there that you got out of it. I mean, of course, you just said like $1.03 cost per lead, and your earnings per lead was what? You said 53?
54.
Oh, sorry. Can't forget that dollar.
A dollar is a lot
it is.
When it's multiplied.
It is. You did amazingly well. And I love how you put that, like, look, like, yes, this is a lot of work, but when you get in there and truly understand, I took a note as you were talking about here, when you get in there and truly understand your target customer and what their needs and pains and desires are, that level of knowledge is going to help you put together ads and videos and all this stuff in your branding and your presentation to your target audience to attract your ideal audience. Because what you said before, Jasmine, is that, look, like, I want to attract people, but I don't want to attract the wrong audience. And so it's either they like me or they don't like me. And the people that don't like me, that's great, because I want the people in there who are attracted to me and what my vision is here and what my story is here, and that people who want to be involved in my business.
Absolutely. And one thing that I want to be 100% real here is that I worked really hard on creating social platforms. And so we were targeting cold traffic and warm traffic. So there are things to take into consideration. And we had launched the first time I've ever done a launch was in July of 2016. And we are launching for the second time, Insta 180 in October of 2016. And so I'm going to be very interested to see what my cost per lead and earnings per lead is, because I really tapped into my more markets already, like heavily relying on cold traffic.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be interested in seeing that, but I'm going out on a limb, Rick. I'm a little scared. So this is a lot, right? So last time $10,000 was like bananas to me, but we're going to be watching the ads. And as long as I'm not spending more than $3,
yeah,
I'm going to, because I know that the webinar converts. And so it's kind of scary, but what? We decided to like leave it open-ended. As long as we were getting $3 cost per lead, we can definitely justify that type of ad spend.
Now, when you say open-ended, are you kind of going into it with the, okay, probably 10K is roughly where I want to be spending, but you're open to spending more than that if you're getting a cost per lead that you're happy with?
If you can believe this, I feel like I want to just take a risk. I know this is just crazy. This is crazy. But I once read a book and it challenged people to live a life by way of a story being told in retrospect. What's the story I want to tell in the future? Is it, well, I spent $10,000 and it was wonderful, so now I'm going to spend $12,000? Is that the story I want to tell? Or do I want to say, hey, I learned something really valuable about Facebook ads and Instagram ads. Now, let's just go and hit it so hard. Let's see, like if I'm going to fail, let me fail royally so that I can learn faster. I'm all about paying the cost of learning.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to limit my budget as long as we're staying, because the price of my product is $197. It's not like I'm selling this massive product.
Right.
So I have to be very careful. But if we can stay under $3, then I'm going to let it grow and I'm going to let it do what it's supposed to do. And then I have to do my job on the back end to convert leads into clients at the end of the day.
Well, you do such a good job with that. I love the way that you just put that, like, look, like I'm willing to spend money if I'm learning from this and able to, it's able to better me and better my business and lifestyle and all this other stuff. You know, like, you know, one of the regrets that, and we talk about this a lot, is one of the biggest regrets after a launch is I didn't spend more with my Facebook ads.
Yes.
Like, and it's hard because you're like, holy cow, this is $10,000. And that's a lot of money, because it absolutely is. But then when you get through it, oftentimes, most of the time, it's like, oh man, I wish I spent more.
Right? Like, when's the, and here's the thing that I'm like, oh, I'm always going to look back at this and like want to kick myself. But when is the next time I could possibly get a 5,400% return?
Yeah.
You know, like, when is that going to happen?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's my biggest regret from the launch, but it was a learning lesson and we'll see. We're going to test the waters again for launch too.
I love it. So what I'm hearing is I'm going to have you back on the show. Not have to, but I want to have you back on the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Oh God, I got to have you back on the show here. I want you back on the show here after, if you're willing to come back on after the launch and share, you know, how things went with the launch. Were your results, you know, vastly different? Were they better? Were they the same than last time? And also kind of take people through, you know, did you have a little bit of a different approach this time around? That sort of thing. I'd love to have you share sort of an overall summary of that launch if you're up for it.
I would totally be up for it. Now, like, the pressure's on. I better.
Seriously.
These ads better perform.
So kind of, Jasmine, wrap this up here. If just kind of like summarize, if you were to tell people what they should focus on the next time they're creating Facebook ads or really any kind of advertising for their business from a branding and a visual standpoint, storylining, all that stuff, kind of sum that up on what you recommend they do.
Okay, so if you don't mind, I have 8 steps really quick. I can hammer them out in like less than 5 minutes.
Go for it.
But I am going to lean heavily into encouraging business owners and entrepreneurs to have a professional photo shoot, because you could use these images for a couple years. So the perpetuity of the investment, and there's a lot of newer burgeoning photographers who really want to build their portfolio, and there's a lot of opportunity. So if people decide to invest in Insta 180, I have a VIP group, and there's a lot of photographers who trade services with other businesses. So there's a lot of ways to leverage what you need as long as it's a mutually beneficial relationship. So having said that, I'm going to assume that listeners are going to hire a photographer, because that's genuinely what I think is going to get the biggest return on their investment.
Okay.
When it comes to Facebook ad. First, number one, you want to state your budget from the outset. So if you are not trading with a photographer and say you have $400 for a photo shoot, what does that entail? How many photos will you be getting? Know the details. But a photographer can only give you the details once you state your budget from the outset. So craft an email with these 8 things. Secondly, list how many people will be a part of the photo shoot. So if you're selling clothing, like baby clothing or shoes or basketballs, and you want to have models within the shoot, how many people are going to be there so the photographer is prepared? and you know what you ultimately want with the images. 3, itemize how many photos you're going to need and how they will be used. So do you need 10 photos or do you need 30 photos? And then you need to say, I'm going to use them for Facebook ads. I'm going to use them for Instagram, so that the photographer knows exactly how they'll be used. 4, you have to share where the shoot is going to take place. I always recommend to keep your shoots as local as possible in case you need to run back to the office or home to get what you need. But outlining where the location is going to be is powerful. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
5, you want to outline the vibe or the theme of the shoot. This just goes back to what we spoke about heavily earlier in the conversation, is who are you trying to attract? Where should the shoot take place in order to attract that person? 6, you want to create a list of detail photos that you can use for accent photos or stock photos for your Facebook ads. So these are going to be photos that are details relating to your business. So for instance, if you have a bike company and you sell bikes, of course you're going to get a photo of the bike, but you should also get detail photos like the bike seat, or if you have a basket, or a close-up of the tires or the spokes. These are the types of detailed photos that you can use for Facebook ads at a later point in time. 7, you want to state if you're going to also need a headshot or a bio shot, because as the owner of the company, if you're there, you could stand next to the bike. And then you have to articulate, do you want it to be a corporate headshot, a lifestyle, casual kind of photo? Know these things in advance so you are prepared and the photographer is prepared. And last and final point, you should ask the photographer if he or she has previous experience with the type of shoot that you need. If they have a lot of experience, they'll likely charge more. If they don't have a lot of experience, you'll probably get a better bargain. And I encourage you to find something that makes sense for your financial budget. But the less experience that photographer has, the more your work you're going to have to do on the front end to say, this is a list of photos that I'll need. As long as you know what you need in advance and you pass it over to the photographer, it should be a win-win across the board.
I love that. I've seen you in action when you're like running a shoot like that. And it's like, no, you over there, push in here. Close. You're like, no, do
so
this.
So what I'm hearing you say is that I'm bossy.
No, that's I love that because most people don't know what they need to be doing. And you know it from an artistic standpoint and what you're trying to convey with, you know, with the video or an image or whatever. Yeah. I think that's so important. I want people to, we covered a lot of stuff here. A lot of great information. I'm thinking about, like, because I know you have a challenge coming up, an Instagram challenge. I want people to check that out, but I also want people following you on social media so that they can see you in action here between all the social media. And I know you're doing a 7-day Instagram challenge. So where can people connect with you and to get into the challenge? And then after that, where can people connect with you on social media?
Perfect. Let's keep this as easy as possible. Yeah. So on all social media, you'll find me at Jasmine Star. Let's Connect on Instagram is my favorite place to connect. And you can get all the information regarding the free 7-day Instagram challenge. It's a great way to really test whether or not my way of teaching and communication would work well for your business. So it's testing the waters. You can find that at Insta180.com. So Insta180.com, because we want you to make a 180-degree change with your Instagram.
Love it. I'll link that up in the show notes. I'll link you up for the all of your social media platforms in the show notes for today's episode. Jasmine, you are amazing. Thank you so much for coming on here. And the challenge is on here. You're doing a seven day Instagram challenge. I'm challenging you that I want you back on here in the show after your launch and to share how everything went.
And also, can I challenge listeners that there are obviously gaps in what we're presenting because we're just talking up a storm. So if people have questions for me to fill in the gaps, I want to tailor our next conversation to the specific needs of your listeners. So if you have questions, what's the best way for them to ask the questions, Rick?
Well, they can connect with you either on any of your social media, or they can tweet me at Rick Mulready, email me support@rickmulready.com, leave a comment on the show notes page, all kinds of different ways. So definitely let us know. Jasmine, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one with Jasmine today. I've linked up everything that we talked about today over in the show notes for today's episode, including where you can sign up for Jasmine's Instagram challenge and all of her social media platforms over at rickmulready.com/106. Also on that page, I asked Jasmine to send me over examples of the images that she used in her Facebook ads, as well as the video that she used in her Facebook ads. So we've included that also on the show notes page for today's episode. I like to do that so you can put some images to the words here in the podcast. So again, rickmulready.com/106. Before we go, if you are liking the podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. Just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, and then you can click on ratings and reviews and leave your honest review and rating right there. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. Really appreciate it. Well, that is all for today's episode, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. I've got a lot of great stuff coming your way in the next episodes. So until then, and as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.